The president is going to address the nation tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has a long, long day today, but that's nothing new for the president. He right now he's at the U.S. Supreme Court hearing arguments on the 14th Amendment, birthright citizenship, but we can get to that. And then tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, he's addressing the nation. The only information we got from the White House press secretary was that the president will provide what she called an important update about the war against Iran, but no other details. But I will point out that when the president started the war against Iran, he said it would last anywhere from 2 to 4, maybe 6 weeks, and he said as long as it takes. Then he said it would end very soon, and that he would know when it was over because he would feel it in his bones. That's a quote. So perhaps he's feeling it in his bones, and he's saying that. You know, now going into the fifth week of the war against Iran, the president says it's on ahead of schedule and all is well, and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm sure we're going to hear all about that tonight.
Okay, now one of the things that comes to mind is the last address he did was an all-time record long one. But the other thing is, might he be performing some sort of military maneuver right before this and be announcing it tonight?
Well, the president does tend to do a lot of things at once, so as to, as many surmise, change our focus, flood the zone, as they say.
Yeah.
What's happening over here, while you're focusing on this, you don't see what's happening on the other side. So, diversionary tactics are not unusual. Whether this is one of those things, we don't know. I've heard a lot of people say that everything the president does is meant to manipulate the stock market. Again, that's what people say. I don't know that any of it is true, but I will say that President Trump does operate, as he so proudly says, at the speed of Trump, and he has many things happening all at once. And while he's going to be talking about Iran tonight, it's possible that he will be actually taking action against Iran at the same time.
One of the things that he's been asking other nations to do is to take over the Strait of Hormuz. And, we started it, you finish it up. And that doesn't seem to be going down real well internationally.
No, the president's been very sore at allies for not, he said, they haven't pitched in. They haven't helped the U.S. He said, on the other hand, the U.S. doesn't need your help. Then he says they decided to help too late. I wanted them at the beginning, not at the end. Then he said we didn't need their help anyway, so who needs them? And now he says, again, seems to be very sore about that, says to the allies, go get your own oil.
Okay, now it's interesting. Interesting, 60% of Gulf crude oil is imported into Asia, China, India, Japan, and South Korea. So could that be who he's talking about, particularly China being a major world power, being able to tame the Gulf?
He says that the U.S. has taken out all of the mine-laying boats in the Strait of Hormuz, although I could see how it would be easy to just drop in more mines and put them right back again. He says the strait is safe, it's not a threat. Then he says it needs to be protected, and it's maybe it's not so safe. He says that there's no leaders to talk to. Oh, they're all dead. This was not about regime change, but there has been regime change. Then he says they're talking to the right people, but he won't say who they are. The Pakistanis apparently are operating as intermediaries, but Iran says they're not talking to the U.S., that they were never talking to the U.S. Are they talking to the U.S.? In other words, it's a big, tangled ball of confusion.
Yes, and maybe we'll get some of that confusion settled here tonight at 7 o'clock Montana time. The president will address the nation. Linda, this president is doing something no other president that I'm aware of has ever done, and that's go to the Supreme Court and sit in on oral arguments.
Yeah, the president is listening to a challenge to one of the first executive orders he issued when he returned to the White House in his second term. And his executive order challenges what has been a longstanding U.S. principle that says people born in the U.S. on U.S. soil are U.S. citizens. But the president has been trying to, with this executive order, reverse a lot of that longstanding precedent. I will say that the president is being challenged on these efforts to restrict birthright citizenship, which was enshrined in the Constitution in the aftermath of the Civil War through the 14th Amendment. I was the White House pool reporter yesterday in the Oval Office, and we asked him about this challenge to birthright citizenship. And that's when he surprised us and said he was going to go to the Supreme Court today. And he said that the 14th Amendment was meant to provide citizenship to the children of slaves. That's it. And then he went off and said that it was not meant for, this is kind of surprised us, billionaires from China to come into the U.S., have 14, 15, 16 babies or what have you, and then have them all declared U.S. citizens. He kept mentioning China. That was curious, and billionaires, but I don't think the majority of people who come to the U.S. and have children who become American citizens are billionaires. They're just average people. There aren't as many, billionaires in the world as opposed to average people. But he did seem to repeat that over and over, like he had China on his mind. But he, first president ever to sit in on a Supreme Court argument. He said he did it before, but I don't think he did. This is definitely a constitutional question. It's challenging an amendment to the Constitution, and the Supreme Court's main responsibility is to interpret the Constitution.
It's interesting to me that the birthright citizenship thing seems to be so inclusive. But friends of mine who live along the southern edge of Arizona and New Mexico have told me many stories about how they would see people come across from Mexico, come across, give birth right there on in the desert, and then show up and say, "Here's my baby," birth certificate, U.S. citizen, because that child was born on U.S. soil, and by virtue of the fact that I'm the mother, then I am too a citizen.
I think the term for that is anchor babies.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how, they were saying that this happens a lot, that people just get across the border and actually have the baby right out there in the desert.
So not billionaires from China.
Apparently not. the wall, they probably are supposed to stop that. But then we also hear stories about how people will come to the United States on a vacation just in time to deliver their baby.
Right. Yes, it's happened for generations. But what does the 14th Amendment say about it? That's really what's going to be what the Supreme Court is going to focus on. And the president, of course, took aim at some of the Supreme Court justices he doesn't particularly like. So I'm sure he's going to, his mere presence is probably going to be meant as a little bit of a pressure against the justices.
He will not be allowed to speak, will he?
No. No. But then again, he's president of the United States. We don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah. Well, it's also that a lot of folks don't realize that for the State of the Union, that the president has to be invited into the House by the Speaker of the House.
Interesting thing that you bring up about that. On January 6th, when the president was giving his rally on the Ellipse, which is an area right outside the White House, and he said he was going to go to the Capitol and join the marchers and go up to the Capitol building himself because the election was being stolen, in his words. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who's the one who does the invitations, any House Speaker who's the seated House Speaker at that time, she said, "Good, I hope he comes up here because we can have him arrested." because the president can't just show up on Capitol Hill. There's a separation of powers, and the president has to be invited. Just like members of Congress can't just show up at the White House, knock on the door, and say, can I come in? They can't. They have to be invited.
Son of a
gun. And that's why you will see this formal letter inviting the president to speak.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be much of a State of the Union without the president there, but he nonetheless has to be invited.
That's right. That's right. That's the protocol. I don't know if it's an actual law. It must be.
Yeah.
But it's certainly, you can't just show up either at the White House or on Capitol Hill. You have to be invited.
Now, Linda, talk with us a little bit about the situation at TSA this morning.
Well, the president did sign an executive order last week saying that the Department of Homeland Security, which remains closed because of the funding dispute up on Capitol Hill, needs to use money from existing funds to pay TSA agents so they will go back to work. And so far, it seems to have many of them have already received back pay through direct positive, and they have gone back to work, and the lines have diminished exponentially at airports around the country. By the way, as I mentioned, I was a pool reporter yesterday. I did ask the president a question in the Oval Office. I said, Mr. President, if you were able to sign an executive order to put the TSA agents back to work and to make sure they get pay, why did you not do that sooner? And also, if you could do that, why not do the same for other agencies that are part of the Department of Homeland Security, like FEMA, for example? And what he said was, nothing that pertained to my question. he said FEMA should be run by the states. There's a lot of pushback about that because states don't have that kind of resources that the federal government has. And it said that he wants FEMA to be operating differently. So he basically didn't answer the question. There are a lot of questions about why, and why it wasn't done sooner, and why not other agencies. I did talk to some Secret Service agents yesterday when I went into work, and I asked them if they are being paid. Because they fall under the Department of Homeland Security. They used to fall under the Treasury Department, by the way, which was kind of an odd arrangement, but now Department of Homeland Security. And they told me they are getting paid because there's still some existing funds.
Okay. That at least that clarifies some of the stuff for us, Linda. I would, in asking the question of the president, how did he respond to you? Was he kind of upset that you would ask a question like that?
No, he didn't attack me personally, but he did attack the other woman who asked him a question about something else. He called her fresh and basically told her to shut up. So the president does like to pick on reporters, but especially female reporters. It's well documented.
He must like you.
Yeah, there you go. Now, there's one.
I don't know. It's hard to tell who he likes and who he doesn't. It could change from one minute to the next.
Okay, here's an observation. He made the comment, 20... cargo vessels were getting through the Strait of Hormuz, indicating oil was passing through and that it was a goodwill gesture. I don't know any. I haven't seen anything about that other than the fact that Iran is charging $2 million per vessel toll to Chinese and different countries that are going through. So that is adding to the cost of oil. That's not bringing down the cost of oil at all.
Well, not only is it not bringing down the cost of oil, the president is saying they shouldn't be imposing a toll. And then he says, the U.S. has enough oil for everybody and that the other countries should come buy oil from the U.S. But then oil prices are up in the U.S. too. So we're in a global economy. So, it's kind of the butterfly effect. If something happens on one side of the world, it kind of affects everybody.
Okay.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right.